for it, Jesus. Lord, your word says where two or three are gathered on earth, it's touching any one thing, it shall be done. Lord, of you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that. We bless your name today. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And we want you to have faith in the word of God today. I was reminded today as I was worshiping what a blessing it is to believe. Because there was a day I didn't. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believeth. I want to turn your attention to Luke chapter 11 today and verse 5. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation for the first portion of scriptures. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Says, then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight. Everyone say midnight. Midnight. Wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out of his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night. And my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he would not do it for his friendship's sake, if you keep on knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not, Jesus said. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them or to those who ask him? I want to talk for this topic for a little while, a friend in the midnight hour. A friend in the midnight hour. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Father, I know that there are souls coming to this place today, God, whom you are seeking, God. And I know there are souls coming to this place who have heard your voice. Lord, I know there are souls who have walked through these doors, God, today that you've been talking to. And Lord, they know it. And God, it's a good thing, Jesus. Because, Lord God, when they listen and you talk, Lord, good things can happen. God, I pray today that you would touch our hearts and our faith. Let them rise in Jesus' name. Lord, let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. A friend in a midnight hour. God bless you. You may sit down. It is a universally accepted idea that midnight is not a very good time. When you think of midnight, oh, it's the midnight hour. It either indicates trouble or it's the end of something. That's why the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists keep what's called the doomsday clock. Now, there's some cheer for you today, huh? They keep this clock based upon world events and wars that are going on and administrations that are leading countries, and they're trying to predict the end of the world. Last I saw, I think it moved up from 2 minutes to 1 minute until what? It wasn't 1 minute until noon. It wasn't 1 minute until 9 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't 1 minute until 3 in the afternoon. It was 1 minute until midnight, because the world recognizes midnight as a very pivotal time in culture, in families, in individuals' lives, and even on a global scale, that either something is going to end or something very bad is going to happen. I don't think it's any happenstance. It's not any wanting of words that Jesus used this time frame in which he told the parable of the person who came to their friend's house because they had a need. I know some people who walked into this place today, friend. You walked into the friend's house tonight. You came to the friend's house today, knocking on the door of heaven because you have a need. The Lord knows who you are. The Lord knows where you are. The Lord knows your need. And God has met you today. And God is prepared to answer your call to Him. If you think I'm talking to you, I bet you're right. Because I'm telling you what, I feel it in the Spirit today. Somebody wants to know Jesus. Somebody wants to meet Him. Somebody wants to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. And you came knocking on the door of the friend's house today. Open up. Open up. I've got a need. Well, I want to tell you something. This friend isn't like the friend who said, go away. I'm in bed. Don't bother me. Me and my kids and my family are in bed. Oh, no, that's not how Jesus is. Jesus, my friend, is like the father who stayed home when the prodigal son said, well, Daddy, why don't you give me everything that's coming to me? And not too far after that, he left and he went. And he went into a far country, the Bible says. And he spent all of what he had been given on riotous living, on harlots, on partying. And the Bible says he became bankrupt. Not just bankrupt physically, not just bankrupt financially, but he became morally and spiritually bankrupt. And oh, thank God, he was eating carob pods. You know what that is? That was, the Bible calls it the husk that they fed the swine. That's what they ate when famine came into the land, when there was really nothing left to eat just to survive. Somebody has walked into this house today and you just been trying to survive. You've been eating what you could be given by this world. You've just been trying to make it. You've just been trying to survive. I'm not telling you that to condemn you. I'm telling you that because we've all been there. We've all been there, my friend. But I'm telling you what, there's a God in heaven. He knew you were going to be here today, and he sent this preacher to say, oh, you've got a friend in the midnight hour. You've got a friend in the midnight hour. I don't know what your midnight hour is. Again, to the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, midnight hour on this earth is when all the nuclear bombs are going to be let go and nobody can do anything to stop them. The whole world's going to blow up. Very well could happen. And according to Bible prophecy, I believe it's likely going to happen. I'm not a prophecy scholar. Don't claim to be a prophecy teacher, but I do understand a little bit about the Word of God. And it sure looks like nuclear war in there to me. But that's not what I come to talk about. I've come to talk about you got a friend in the midnight hour. This person needed a friend in the midnight hour. He needed someone. You know, we might say, well, what's the big deal? Why didn't he just go home and bake something? Jesus didn't do that to illustrate. He didn't say why. What he was trying to do is illustrate a point. Number one, if you ask, seek, and knock, God's going to show up. And he is going to give you what you need. Amen? So you might have came into this place today. And you've been asking God for deliverance. Well, I come to tell you deliverance is here. Yeah. You might have come into this place and you might have been seeking direction in your life. I'm telling you what, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You might have been knocking on the door, but I want to tell you something, friend. Jesus has been knocking on your door a lot longer than you've been knocking on His. So why don't you open up your heart and let Him in today? Let Him in. Let Him in. You've got a friend in the midnight hour. Your midnight might not be my midnight. Their midnight might not have seemed like such a big deal to us. Why? What would we do if we got a call and say, hey, longtime friends come and say, hey, Darren, Shannon, we're going to come see you. Oh, that's good. When are you going to be here? June, July, August? No, we're going to be there in 10 minutes. You know how you ladies are. And it's a good thing. We would have that house clean from top to bottom, inside and out, no matter if we just cleaned it before we went to bed. We clean it again. Why? Because that's just the way ladies are. And that's a good thing. And some of us guys are like that too. Boy, you never notice how dirty your house is until someone's coming over. She said she's going to be leaving for camp. And I'm not picking on her. This is just a good illustration. She got my Pilot the other day. I drive the Pilot. She drives the car. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is pretty clean. It looks good. She gets in. She said, man, this thing's filthy. She wasn't being mean. She said, and you know, I said, oh, okay. Well, I never thought anything about it. I didn't say that to her, but I'm thinking in my mind. And she likes a clean vehicle when she goes places. She's going down to work for camp for 3 weeks. By the way, I'm going to be a bachelor for 3 weeks. So if anybody wants to make meals or anything like that, I'm going to be on my own. As you can tell, I really need it. Anyway, yesterday I said, I'll clean the car. Got that going. And you know what? I got into cleaning that thing, Brother Mark. That thing was filthy. Sister Kim, That it had dirt places I didn't even know had dirt. And I drive it every day. It's amazing what you can find, brother, when you just start cleaning things up a little bit. Can I borrow your Bible? That's why we're here in the house of God. That's why we're here in the Word of God. That's why we hear the Word of God. Because we go along in our life and we think everything's just fine. We think everything's cool. We think I'm not that bad of a guy. I'm not that bad of a lady. I'm not that bad of a person. But I'm telling you what, Jesus comes along. He said, Darren, you're filthy. You need to clean up a little bit. And if I get into the Word of God, I get a true picture of what I really am. And the more I start cleaning up, the better I feel. And the better I feel, the more I clean. But I'm telling you what, you got a friend in a midnight hour. So if it were one of us, we'd be scrambling. We'd be cleaning the house. We'd be straightening things up. Why? Because we want to receive our friend, right? And if we didn't have anything in the house to eat, I don't know, knowing me and Shannon, we'd probably say, we'll feed you breakfast. We'll greet you at the door. We love you. Here's the bed. Good night. No, it wouldn't be that bad. If we really needed something, we'd go to Walmart, wouldn't we? Well, this person couldn't go to Walmart. This person had a need. And Jesus was sensitive enough to know that, you know, there's nothing too small for Jesus. There's nothing too insignificant for him. I want to tell this to somebody today. I don't know who you are, but I want to talk to you. You are not a bother to Jesus Christ. You do not bother him. Hear the word of the Lord. You're not a bother to him. You are important. Your life matters. You have a purpose. You're here for a reason. The devil has lied to you. You don't need to be worthy to come to God. If that were the case, we wouldn't be having church. Because none of us would be here. Your worth is not determined on who you are. Your worth is determined on who he is. Your worth is determined on the price that he decided to pay to buy our salvation. And that price was his blood. His very life's blood. Pastor talked about it today in Sunday school. Jehovah Jr. didn't come down. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But in that Son of God was the Almighty God. Living and dwelling in a fleshly body to pay the price for our sins at Calvary. He laid down his life for you and for me while we were yet sinners. That is where our value is. It's not in us, it's in him. So you might have come in here tonight feeling like you're in the midnight hour. I've come in here today to tell you there's hope. I don't understand your situation. I don't know your situation. Even if we sat down for 3 hours and you talked to me about it, I still might not be able to fully grasp the pain and the agony or the uncertainty or the suffering or the guilt or the shame that you carried into this place today. But I have come in here today to tell you that there is a God in this room, that God dwelt in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he was tempted, he was tested, he was tried in all points, like as we are. Just what you go through, just what I go through. But the good news is, he didn't sin. That way we can come to him and he can fully sympathize with our weaknesses and our temptations. And therefore, since he did not sin, he is the advocate. He is the high priest. He is the one that paid the price. He is our go-between yet today. He is our savior, and he understands. Jesus Christ understands right where you are. Your midnight might have been a diagnosis. Your midnight might have came when the doctor came in and said, sir, ma'am, I'm sorry. There's nothing more we can do. How long do I have, doctor? 6 weeks, 6 months, a year, 2 years. That might be your midnight. Your midnight might be your spouse turned to you and said, honey, I'm sorry. I don't love you anymore. Your midnight might be That child not picking up the phone when you call them over and over and over again and just want to talk to them and you just want to love on them, but they're holding you for some reason at arm's length and you just can't have that relationship with them. Your midnight might be the creditors calling you every other day because the bills are piling up and it just doesn't seem like there's enough money coming in. You're doing everything right. You're trying your best. You're working a hard job. Maybe you're working two jobs. I'm telling you what, I don't know what your midnight is, but I have come into this place to tell you and to tell somebody, hold on, my friend, because God is coming to your rescue. Hold on, my friend, because God hears your prayer. Hold on, my friend, because God sees your need. Hold on, my friend, because God loves you. You've got a friend in the midnight hour. I know it may not seem like it. I know you might be praying and you might be wondering where God is. I know you might be seeking God and you're wondering, God, what in the world is happening in my life? You might be wondering, God, what's going on? But can I tell you to trust, not me, trust God. Have faith in God. God will see you through, my friend. God hears your prayer. God sees your cry. And God is going to show up right on time. You got a friend in the midnight hour. Sometimes this world, sometimes living and walking in this world can just make our heads spin at a torrid pace. And I do believe it's worse than it's ever been. Just because the advancement of technology and the evolution of knowledge. Did you know even in the Bible, Daniel said in the last days, knowledge will be increased. I said in the class probably some 15, 20 years ago, that was probably 20 years ago now, and a professor teaching our class, training class, said that, I don't know, in the next 28 years, he said it was, that the knowledge would be, and that was 20 years ago, knowledge would be increasing so fast that men's minds would not be able to keep up with the change and the influx and the inundation of knowledge and change. And I sat there and I thought, God, this is prophecy coming true. This man's from the University of whatever, Wisconsin, and he's not a preacher, he's not an apostolic man, but he's talking the Word of God. And things like that can just make our head spin and relationship problems and financial problems and on and on and on the list goes. I'm telling you what, you've got a friend in the midnight hour. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. The greatest words in all this world, one of the greatest words in all the world is hope. I really feel I've come into this place today to give somebody hope. I'm not coming to give you a fairy tale. I'm not coming to placate you. And I'm certainly not coming to say I know how you feel. I'm not coming to say I understand what you're going through. Like I said, even if we sat down for 3 hours and you told me everything, it would be a disservice to you to say I understand, because I don't understand. I'm not walking in your shoes, but I know a God who has all knowledge. And we just have to trust Him, that His love surpasses that knowledge. Oh, we perceive it. We understand it. We can see it at Calvary because He demonstrated. That's what the word demonstrate means. While we were at sinners, God demonstrated His love toward us. And that while we were at sinners, Christ died for us, the Word of God says. He put it on display. He demonstrated it. It was a banner of His love, Calvary. When He said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly. 36 years, July will be, since I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm still trying to wrap my mind about a God that loves enough to know the harm and the shame that will cause him, and be willing to pay the price to forgive me and do it gladly. It wasn't easy for him. In his flesh, he thoroughly did not enjoy it. Jesus didn't go to Calvary. He didn't get up and skip that day and say, oh, this is the day that I came for. This is the greatest moment of my life. No, he went to a Gethsemane and he pressed his will out in that place where the olives are pressed. That's what Gethsemane means. It means olive press. It's a pressing. He went in and pressed out. Matter of fact, if you read the Bible, it says he resorted there often. He went there often. I want to interject here, and I want to say for those of us who walk with the Lord and we come to the Lord and we can't die out to something, we just can't have a problem picking up our cross. Could it be because we're not going to Gethsemane often enough and pressing our will out? We know what we need to be doing. We know what we need to be doing. But we just can't find it within ourselves to do it. That's because it's not within ourselves to do it. We got to be like Jesus and say, Father, not my will, but your will be done, and press that out and do what he's called us to do. But he's coming to this place today and he's looking for whosoever will. He's looking for who will ask, who will seek, and who will knock. And Jesus ended this story, this parable, with some very poignant instruction for us today. He said, You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? They ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? He said, of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the Bible says, the hope of glory, is our chiefest of need. He truly is a friend in the midnight hour. But Jesus doesn't just want to pay my light bill. He doesn't just want to put groceries in my cupboard. He doesn't just want to heal the pain and the scars that this suffering world has caused, or that I've caused myself. But he wants a relationship with you. And he wants a relationship with me. He wants to dwell in our hearts by faith, as the Word of God says. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, hey, if you evil people, if you evil fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, hey, you just ask. Yeah. And you'll be given the Holy Spirit. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? You see, because when Adam and Eve were formed out of the dust of the ground, Adam first and then Eve from a rib that was taken from Adam's side, and God breathed into their nostrils, and they became a living soul by the breath of God, untainted by sin, alive with the breath of God. When they chose to disobey God in the garden, the Bible says that death passed upon not just them, but all men. They were literally walking dead men, spiritually. Death had passed upon them. You looked at Adam and Eve the day after they had sinned, and sure, I'm sure you could probably see in their eyes the hollowness of what they had done, but physically, ordinarily, just looking at them from a distance, they probably wouldn't have looked a whole lot different, but they were. They were dead in trespasses and sins because of their disobedience. That life that was in them from the breath of God, that life was gone and is now replaced with death. And that death has passed upon all men. As good looking and as handsome as all three of my sons were, no prejudice here. But I realized very early, particularly when I first held Nathaniel in my lap, and the weight of the responsibility of not just raising a child, but modeling the Word of God before that child and trying to live a disciple life before them and to give them a life that they'll want to follow as I follow Christ. Literally, the words came to me, my God, what have I done? It was, Sister Marcia, it was a God moment, because that little boy lay in my lap. And I just didn't see a little boy, but I saw a little soul, Sister Camille. I said, my God, what have I done? God, you've got to help me. You've got to help me parent these boys. You've got to help me be a father to these boys, God, because I can't do this. I just can't do this. Now, it all didn't come as a surprise to me, so I think you know what I mean. But as far as being their spiritual example, God, you've got to do this. And as cute as they were, and you know, Ryan just moved out of the house, and that's a bad thing about being a preacher's son. You always get picked on, but he just moved out of the house not too long ago, and for the first couple of weeks, I walked around the house, and I'd walk into his room, and, you know, think of things, and particularly one time he called me at work and left me a message on my answering machine, and I'll never forget it. It goes to show how long ago it was, but, Daddy, it's snowing outside, Daddy. It's snowing outside. See, as cute as they were, they're little sinners that need a Savior. That's why, moms and dads, it's so important to be in the house of God. That's so important when you don't feel like it. That's when it's most important. And you're not always going to feel like it. That's why it's important to do the right thing. But they're born into sin. You're born into sin. I'm born into sin. Don't you wish, Brother Mark, you could probably say amen to this. Don't you wish that it was as easy for our kids just to naturally do what they should do as opposed to get into mischief and do what they shouldn't do? It doesn't take very long when you're raising a child to understand there's a sin nature in that little thing. Right. Now, I'm 51 years old, and I want to hurry on, but I'm 51 now, so my kids are almost raised. Ethan, he's on his way down to camp. He's 15, so they're getting there. But it still fascinates me looking back at my own children and even looking at children now, how early a child can learn how to deceive, or at least think they're deceiving. What is that? That's a sin nature. And because of that sin nature, my friend, death has passed upon us. So what do we do about that? We need to be born again. The Bible says that whoever is only born once is going to face a second death. You can read that in Revelation. And whoever is born twice, they're only going to die once. What is that second death? That's not just a physical death, but that is an eternal death away from the presence of God. So we have a problem here that Jesus is very happy to solve. He went to Calvary. He took every sin that you and I have ever committed and ever will commit upon himself at Calvary. He paid the price for our sins. He paid the punishment for our sins. But we have to accept responsibility for our sins. He paid the price. He redeemed us. He bought us back by his blood. But we have to accept responsibility for who we are and what we've done. That's called repentance. Acknowledging that, God, I am wrong. Well, how do I know if God's talking to me? You know. I know. Here's what it was for me. 15 years old, and boy, the Lord just saved me from a lot of stuff. Because I was into some stuff, and there was a whole lot more stuff. If I could have got my hands on, I would have done it. Because I was a sinner. I wasn't raised like that. My mom and dad didn't live like that. I was making my own choices. My choices. But you see, Jesus had another plan. So for me, it was this. There came a point in time that when I would do something that I ordinarily had done it hundreds of times, whatever, this little voice came to me Darren, you had not have done that. That's all it said. Did I hear it audibly? No, but I heard it in here. And with that, Darren, you had not have done that. All of a sudden, I began to realize how my behavior was affecting other people. And some of it I wouldn't tell you about because it's shameful. Shameful. God's been talking to somebody in this place. He has. It might not be a, you had not have done that. But God's been talking to somebody. And that's a good thing. Because it's just like my wife getting in the car the other day. This car's filthy. To me, the car was clean. Sister Pat, that car wasn't that bad. Until I really got to cleaning it yesterday. I even got the toothbrush out and scrubbed stuff that I didn't even know was there. Why? Because I heard a word. This car's filthy. And she wasn't being nasty. You understand that, right? She's got, this car's filthy. But I didn't see it like that. Jesus has come here today to tell somebody, you need to clean some things up. You got some areas in your life you need to clean up. You need to get out the Word of God and start looking into it. And not just looking into it, but obeying the Word of God. You know, this is, can I borrow your Bible again? That's what I get for bringing an electronic Bible. This can be very intimidating. There are a lot of commands in this book. There are a lot of thou shalt and a thou shalt not. Just loving your neighbor as yourself alone is a problem. And God's given me plenty of practice at that over the last couple of years. And I have to say I'm getting better. This I don't want to say this man right here because that sounds irreverent. Pastor Matt, he said very often, love your neighbor. You know, love your neighbor, tell stories about his neighbor. Now when my neighbors do ding-dong things, like get their golf... Well, anyway, I won't go there. But anyway, they do ding-dong things, in my opinion. I hear this voice. It sounds a lot like Pastor Matt's. Same pitch, same tone runs through my head. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Now I start to complain about something. I just say it out loud. I know. Love my neighbor. I know. I love my neighbor. But that's what the Word of God does for us. It doesn't condemn us. It cleans us up. I want to tell somebody, don't be afraid of Jesus. Don't be afraid of Him. He's not going to condemn you. He's not going to damn you. If anybody condemns and damns us, it's ourselves. Because the Bible says whoever does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God is condemned already. If I have not believed in His name and obeyed the gospel, I'm condemning and damning myself. I'm sending myself to an eternity without God. Jesus is doing everything He can to save us. Can I keep this for a while? I need to bring mine next time. But there is a lot of stuff in here, so how do I keep all this? That's why we need to not just repent of our sins, but we need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission and for the taking away of our sins. Pastor taught it today. Literally means the forgiveness of our sins. And we need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you will just ask, you'll get it. You'll get it. That gives us the power. There are things that broke off me the night I received the Holy Spirit, was baptized in Jesus' name, that I never picked up again. Did I want to at times? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Flesh, it's still with us. I don't know about you, but I was in the flesh when I got up. My flesh still gives me fits. I hate my flesh. Sometimes I love my flesh. I got too much flesh. Needs to be crucified. The Holy Spirit in us will help us do that. I want to give you a quick example. I don't want to go too long, but I want to give you a quick example. Man, I've been walking with God for years, and I just want to be transparent with you because we're flesh. We're in the flesh. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need that friend at midnight. But one day this guy at work was just ranting and raving, going crazy and just acting a fool. and just yelling at everybody, yelling at this one lady I work with, so on and so forth, and came by and lit into me. Now, guys, I don't want to pull myself in with you or pull yourself in with me, but would it be safe in saying most of us men don't like someone standing and yelling at us in our face? I'm not alone. So this is where the Holy Ghost comes in, and he helps us. And this, I don't know. I've been walking with God for a good 15 years. Brother Mark, I stood and I looked him in the eye. So bad. I wanted to hit him so bad. I just didn't want to hit him. I wanted to floor him. I did. So bad. And the whole time, this was just running through my mind. This voice inside me said, you'll lose your testimony and you'll lose your job. You'll lose your testimony and you'll lose your job. You'll lose your testimony and you'll lose your job. That wasn't my flesh saying that, because my flesh was saying, let's see. Not an uppercut. Let's see. Just a straight on jab ought to do it. Right in the... Why am I telling you this? Because you're in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. Somebody in this place is trying to figure out how in the world to get out of the mess we're in and how to stay out of it. We need to repent of our sins. We need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So by faith, we are placed in the body of Christ. That's scriptural. When we're baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. What a safe place to be in this wicked, evil world. This world could blow up, but if I'm in the body of Jesus Christ, man, I've got it made. I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. And I need him inside me. That's why I need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit speaking in other language like the Bible says. So how does all that happen? I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I believe, yes, he died for me. Yes, he rose from the grave on the third day. Yes, he paid the price. Yes, he is my Savior. He did it for me. We put our faith in him and we turn from our sins. God, I'm turning to you. That's not a promise to do everything perfect and right. It's not. Because we're not always going to do everything perfect and right. And as I just tried to illustrate to you, we're not always going to feel like it. But if we listen to the voice inside of us, it says, you had not to do that. Don't do that. Stop that. Your flesh might be screaming. Now, had that been pre-Holy Ghost, I guarantee you, things would have turned out different. Okay? But that's the purpose of being born again. When we walk after the Spirit, we can obey the Spirit in the things of God. Is it all... Well, I'm getting into teaching now. Receiving the Holy Ghost. How do I do that? Ask. Jesus said ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to plead for it. It is a gift that's imparted by God. Upon our repentance and our faith in him, he will fill us with the Holy Ghost. And we will speak in another language as the Spirit gives us the utterance, evidencing that God has taken control of this heart. It's biblical. It's scriptural. By faith, it is a very simple process. So as we close this message out, and we're getting ready to close out here in just a minute, I want to encourage you to repent of your sins and to give your life to God. And I want to encourage you to come to this altar and raise your hands to God and surrender and say, God, I'm asking for the Holy Ghost. But not just ask him for it, thank him for it. God, I thank you that you promised me that you will give me the Holy Ghost if I ask. Lord, I have repented of my sins. And you talk to God like that? He's your friend in the midnight hour. There's nothing irreverent about that. He's waiting on you to call upon him. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm here today and I have repented just like you said. I'm here to ask you, Lord, and not just ask you, Lord, but I thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I praise you. I thank you for dying for my sins. I thank you for rising again the third day. If you got to thank him for the clothes on your back and the breath in your body, find something to thank him for. And eventually, God will fill you. You will begin to speak in another language as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. And you will find that God has taken up residency in you. And my friend, it won't be like the friend who didn't want to get up and give his friend what he needed. You're going to find God meet you right where you are, because God has been waiting on you, because you have got a friend in the midnight hour. Let's stand. He sees where you are. He knows your name. He knows your name. Church, why don't we begin to pray? Let's begin to talk to God. I believe God wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost today. I believe God wants somebody to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and have all their sins washed away today, never to be remembered against you in Jesus' name. Church, why don't we come to this altar? Let's begin to pray at the altar right now in Jesus' name. I want to invite you as the church comes. If you've come into this place today and God has spoken to you through this message, I'm inviting you to come and surrender your life to God. If you want somebody to pray with you, pastor's right here. Brother Mark's right here. If you came with somebody today, why don't you ask them? Why don't you pray with me? Church, let's be sensitive to what God's doing in this place right now. God sent you here today. God drew you here today to touch your life. He drew you here today, oh God. You got a friend in the midnight hour. You got a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You got a friend who wants to live on the inside of you by the power of his Spirit today. Why don't you surrender your life to God? Amen. Church, I'd just like us to worship God here in just a moment. But the Lord has sent somebody into this house. He's been calling you and he's been drawing you. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be afraid of. But I just want to pray in Jesus' name that God would touch and move and minister and let his will be done. By the authority of the Word of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, I loose, Lord God, in Jesus' name, the gift of faith today. I pray, God, right now, by the authority of the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would touch, oh God. Lord, that you would let the gift of faith operate, God. I pray, Lord God, that you would move, oh Lord, and let repentance come forth. God, I pray that you would move in the name of Jesus. Church, let's be the first ones to repent, oh God. Lord, let's call upon the name of the Lord, church. God, let's repent of anything in our lives, Lord God, that doesn't please him. By the authority of the Word of God, in Jesus' name, God, I repent of my sins today. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I lay my life down. Lord God, forgive me, oh God, for the times, oh God, I've walked away. Forgive me, oh God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, for acts of commission and acts of omission, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray right now, God, that you would move in the name of Jesus. Lord God, let your Spirit, God, reign in the power of the Holy Ghost, oh Lord God. Move, oh God, I pray, in the power of the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Church, let's find somebody to pray with. Be sensitive in the Holy Ghost. Be sensitive to people's needs. In Jesus' name. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Minister.
Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the rock of all ages. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the heavenly Father. He's the beginning and the end. He's much more than this, my friend. He's the Son of Man. He's coming back again. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the rock. Jesus is the Father. I know Jesus is the Son. And I know Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the rock of all ages. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Heavenly Father. He's the beginning and the end. It's much more than this, my friend. He's the Son of Man. The Father, and I know Jesus is the Son, and I know Jesus is the Holy Ghost, and all these three are one. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the rock of all ages. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Heavenly Father. He's the beginning and the end. He's much more than this. He's the Son of Man. He's coming back again. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the rock of all ages. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Heavenly Father. He's the beginning and the end. He's much more than this, my friend. He's the Son of Man. He's coming back again. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the rock of all ages. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Heavenly Father. He's the beginning and the end. He's much more than this, my friend. He's the Son of Man. Jesus is the Father, and I know Jesus is the Son, and I know Jesus is the Holy Ghost, and all these three are one. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the rock of all ages. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Heavenly Father. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Son of Man. He's coming back again. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Yeah, he's the rock of all ages. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Heavenly Father. He's the beginning and the end. Much more than this, my friend.
Amen. Let's pray, church. Got one person over here talking in tongues. Amen. Pray in Jesus' name. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Amen. God is good. God is good. He's the Savior. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. All flesh. He's pouring it out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. The Lord is good. Let's rejoice in the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, the Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. If you're crazy enough to believe me in the Word of God, you can be saved. I want you to go home and get your Bible out. I want you to study the book of John. I want you to study the book of Acts. And see if what I've told you today is not the truth. Because I can guarantee you go home and you get a King James Holy Bible, you're going to find it in there. Amen? Something's happened in Christianity in modern times, and it began a long time ago. It began about 300 A.D. So it's been going on a little over 1,700 years, but there's been a perversion of the gospel. There's been a diluting of the gospel. There has been a taking away of elements of the Word of God and the gospel that God never intended to be taken away. For example, there are sects of Christianity out there that teach that receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues is of the devil. Folks, that's just blasphemy. That's what Jesus said it is. I'm just going to be playing with you. Be careful when you listen to a preacher, even if they say they're Christian, that tries to explain to you why the Word of God doesn't mean what it plainly says. That's a spirit that was in the garden that the serpent used to deceive Eve. Hath God said? When God said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's it. That's New Testament entrance into the kingdom of God, just like Pastor Todd. So go home and study this out. Amen. And if you got someone talking to you, or you got, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to any preacher in your life, but if you got a preacher talking to you, explaining to you why the Word of God doesn't mean what it says, there have been renditions of the Bible that have come out that have taken scriptural references to the blood of Jesus Christ out. Folks, you can't be saved without the blood. There have been denominations that have taken worship and instruments out of the church. I'm not criticizing anybody. But folks, you can't take away from the Word of God and make it. Three times in the Word of God, He said, don't add anything to it and don't take anything away from it. So if you have a voice in your life that's saying, well, you don't really need to do that, I want to challenge you to look into the Word of God and see if what I'm telling you is the truth, because you'll find it there. I'm confident you will. And obey it, because the Scripture says that we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen? Pastor, you got anything to say?
Praise God. I believe God has talked to your heart today. Amen. Like Brother Pritt said, take this home, read it for yourself. Amen. It's from the Word. It's truth. And it will set you free. Amen. You will be delivered. You will be renewed in the power of God. Amen. Keep it up in your life. If you've let God touch you, just let it continue. Amen. It's a powerful thing. The more you exercise the presence of God in your life, amen, you're going to become stronger. Amen. And you're not going to do the things you used to do. God bless you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Come again. Experience what God has for you. God bless you.